Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
According to the Pew Research Group, 8 out of 10 Americans have some form of debt, and 70% of those people say their debt is necessary for their lifestyle. Debt in today's society has become very common and also somewhat acceptable. However, many individuals and families feel imprisoned by their bills and creditors, and they're desperate to break free. Well, today's guest can absolutely relate to that feeling.
I know what it feels like to not to want to go home. Because the mail might have arrived before you got there, and your husband's going to find out about your secret debt, so that your wife is going to find out what is really happening. That you don't know how you're going to pay the rent, or you're going to pay the mortgage. I mean, there's absolutely no hope. You really, truly believe that. But I know the truth, that there is always hope. There is always a way out. And God has given me the most wonderful opportunity to help people.
Her name is Mary Hunt. And on today's broadcast, she'll be continuing to pass along some of the helpful financial advice for married couples, especially on the topic of becoming debt-free. You're listening to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. And today, you're going to hear the second part of an interview Dr. Dobson had with Mary Hunt. Now, Mary is a well-known author, speaker, and columnist, and a respected name on monetary issues facing the family. Mary has written over 20 books, including Debt Proof Your Marriage, Raising Financially Confident Children, and 7 Money Rules for Life. Her financial know-how has landed her TV appearances on Dr. Phil's program, also Dateline and Good Morning America. Let's dive back into her conversation with Dr. Dobson right now on how couples can stop owing money and start saving money on this edition of Family Talk.
Mary, glad to have you back. And in spite of the indebtedness that many other people are struggling with, you come back to the very important biblical principles of giving. You know, of all things to say to somebody who feels like they're in a financial hole, why do you start by talking about giving? What do you want to say about that?
You know, Dr. Dobson, I have to tell you that most people who do not name the name of Christ. And I deal with a lot of people who are not Christians. I think God has given me an opportunity to be a light in the darkness. When I tell them the absolute secret to their financial success is going to be in giving away part of their income, they think I've just lost it.
They can't believe it.
They can't believe
you
it.
You call it 10-10-80.
10-10-80. And I believe that this is honorable. I believe that even for people who don't tie it to a church or to tithing, as we who are believers believe this, yes. I think that it is a universal principle. I think that God created us in this way. This is what He wants. We give back to Him. We give of what we have, and we give first. And I'm telling you that that will absolutely change your life.
Let me role play with you.
Okay.
You've got to be kidding me. I am $27,000 in debt, most of it on credit card. I'm paying 14% interest. I am not gaining on it. I'm getting farther and farther behind. You want me to give to the church? You want me to give to God's work? And that's going to get me out of the hole? What are you expecting? The Lord's going to turn around and cancel my debt?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Your way of managing your money doesn't seem to have been working out real well.
No, I don't think
you're
it's
in a
working.
Pretty bad position.
I am at that.
So why in the world would you continue on in the same way if there's another way that you could try? Would you be willing just to try it?
Sure, I'm willing to do that, but I can't see how starting out by giving it away is going to solve that.
You know, I don't understand it either. Mm. But God has created the universe. He has created us in ways that we don't understand. And that's all He has said. If you will obey, I will bless. If, then. It's through the entire Bible. And I got to tell you, there was no one more stubborn than I. I grew up in a pastor's family. Mm. I knew about this stuff from the day I was born, but I had never lived it. That day in 1982, when I was on my face on that floor that day, poured out my heart to God and told Him I would do things His way. I didn't understand. Mm. But I have to tell you that God knows best. We started giving. We had nothing. Dr. Dobson, we had no income whatsoever. None. I went back to work. Probably took me a month to see any money come in. We gave the first part back to God. And talk about being in debt. Mm-hmm. We had so much debt, we didn't know how much debt we had. But I can tell you that when you give and when you're willing to save something, even the smallest amount, for the future, God changes your heart. My desires were not so insatiable anymore. I started to talk to my husband. My heart was softened. I didn't have that thing that could never, ever be satisfied. And I have learned, and you're going to have to believe this on faith. Many people listening to me today, just listen, take it on faith, that giving and saving bring a greater rush than any kind of a spending spree ever could.
That's absolutely true.
It's true. And it's lasting. That is what is so wonderful. Those shopping sprees, I mean, those are great for the moment, but it goes away so fast and leaves you worse off than you were before.
I would recommend that the people who are listening to us and those for whom I was giving voice a minute ago, read the book of Malachi. That is pretty clear. He says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. Yeah.
Dr. Dobson, you've watched what's happened to me over the last 12 years.
I sure
would you call it the windows of heaven?
I certainly would.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I so believe it. I just want to reach to this microphone and touch these people and say, just try it. Listen to me. And it's more than that. It's the 10, 10, 80. You have to learn to live within your means. You have to get out of debt. I can help you do that. I have what's called my rapid debt repayment plan. It's simple. I write it down for you. I teach you how to put it onto your refrigerator. You're not going to consolidate your debts. You're not going to get more debt. You're not going to try and do something magical with another new credit card application. It's not going to work. You've got to get out of debt the right way. I can teach you how to do that.
Mary, let me tell you a story I've shared before. My father, as an evangelist, would speak at relatively small churches. And in those days, he had to drive where he would speak. And many of those churches were struggling. And while he was there for a week or 10 days, he would most typically stay in the home with the pastor and his wife. And while he was there, he would see that they had financial needs and they had children that didn't have shoes without holes in them, or they needed a coat for winter or what have you. And so on the last night of his meeting, he would raise money for the pastor, a little love offering, and then he would give his own honoraria to that cause. And then he would come home. I saw it so I saw it so many, many times. My dad would come home and my mother would greet him warmly. And then in a few minutes, she'd get around to asking the big question, you know, how much did they pay you? And he would smile and he'd say, well, I wanted to talk to you about that. And she would smile and she would say, I know, you gave it away, didn't you? And he would say, yeah, I did. You know, that pastor had such needs, and those kids, and they're living on nothing. I mean, people have this notion of evangelists who are Elmer Gantry out there trying to suck money out of the church and out of the community. Boy, that wasn't true in our family. So my dad would come home, and very shortly we'd run out of money. And I remember one time in particular where he asked my mother and me, I was an only child, to join him in the bedroom. And we knelt and we prayed. And my dad said, Lord, you said if we would give to others in our good times, you'd be there when we had a need. And we have a need now. And we ask you to help us. And I'm telling you, about 3 days later, a $1,200 check came in the mail. And that was a lot of money in those days.
Wow.
And my faith just grew, you know, by leaps and bounds as I saw a need being there coming from generosity out of my dad's heart and my mother accepting it. And then God coming back and pouring out the, you know, the blessings from the windows of heaven.
You know, as I look back that I have been doing this actively. I could tell you times like this as well, and I've gotten so many letters from people who tell me the same kinds of stories. And if I have a regret, and I try not to regret, I hate to look back and regret, but I will always wonder what God had in mind to meet my needs, our needs, during those horrible years. When I was trusting MasterCard and Visa and every possible thing coming down the pike, I wasn't willing to trust God. And I still think, how did I miss that? And I'll never be able to know what he had in mind. But he's more than made up for it since then, because, I mean, I've lived another complete way.
And there is that other dimension to my story and what you're saying right now. Your kids are watching.
They are.
You know, they see what you're doing.
They are.
They know you come dragging home all this stuff, and they know there isn't enough money to go around. And you're teaching them.
You know, I think probably one of the most heartbreaking remembrances I have with my little boys was having them there in the room as the phone rings, and it's one of our creditors, and me telling them, oh, I've sent the check, and it must be lost in the mail, and I'll call the bank and see if it cleared full, well, knowing that it hadn't, and I hadn't even paid it. Here I'm teaching, trying to teach my boys on the one hand not to lie, but yet the life I'm living before them. Kids see through stuff. They know what's going on. They hear what's going on between the parents.
Well, we've had recommendations through the years from Ron Blue and Larry Burkett and others about credit cards. I want to hear your take on them. Would you cut them up?
This is my take on credit cards. We live in a high-tech society. We live in a time when I need to fly, you need to fly, we need to rent cars, we need to buy things long distance. I think that a credit card is a tool that can be used. I think every family, every household needs one good all-purpose credit card. That means there's no annual fee. That means that it's accepted many places, so it's going to be a MasterCard or a Visa. It's one that has 25 days grace period, so that between the time that you buy that airline ticket and you pay it, that you're not charged interest. Yeah. I think that using it in that way, paying it off whenever you use it in full, becomes a tool that is honorable.
How many of them should you have? One credit card. One's enough.
I would say at the very most, if both the husband and wife are traveling or have a particular need, you know, okay, I'll listen to two. But the only thing you can do with two that you can't do with one is to get into debt. And the minute that you run up a balance on that you cannot pay off in a single month, that's it. It gets cut up. It's gone. That's tough love, okay? Mm-hmm. That's tough credit handling. I know that there are some, and I respect them very much, who say absolutely no credit cards. I know that's very difficult. It's difficult to live with a debit card. I don't recommend it, and I get into that in the book. One good all-purpose credit card. But as long as you're deeply in debt, you need to cut those cards up, but you dare not cancel the accounts. I've had to change on that over the years. Nowadays, when you cancel an account, call it up and cancel it if you have a balance, chances are they're going to call the entire amount or they're going to bump you up to the very highest interest rate possible. And that's going to make it all the more difficult for you to get out of debt. But you can cut it up and you can cancel it emotionally so you're no longer using it. Very important key. And a couple together, you know, when they are committed to getting out of debt, to doing this, to become financially responsible, to get their lives turned around, to start giving, to start saving. Together, the two of them in a loving, committed marriage have the power of probably 10 or 15 people trying to do it on their own.
And most creditors, when they see that, will work with you, won't they?
Absolutely, they will. They will. It's that hard step of making that phone call, of staying on it, even though they might rebuff you the first couple of times. Remember, there are millions and millions and millions of credit card accounts out there.
Would you recommend against bankruptcy as a quick fix to the problem?
Yeah, I would recommend against that. I'll tell you what. I've looked back. If we would have filed for bankruptcy, I don't believe that I would have learned the difficult lessons I needed to learn that took 25 years for us to come back to point zero.
Furthermore, you would have shortchanged somebody.
Absolutely.
You owed a debt.
And I think that we would not have realized how God intended to honor our commitment to repentance. I don't want to impugn bankruptcy completely. I think that there are times that perhaps when a person, through a medical situation or perhaps through an accident, loses a limb and can no longer do their job. Yeah. You know, there are times when creditors can absolutely force you into bankruptcy. But those are so few and far between. I think that far too many people jump on the bankruptcy route. They don't learn the lessons they need to learn, and they'll never know how God intended to meet their needs in that regard.
Well, what you're talking about here, Mary, is expressed directly in a scriptural principle. This is Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. I mean, you handle
right
both
there.
Halves of that,
That's
and
right.
you're on the way to financial
Absolutely.
Wholeness, aren't you?
And, you know, I think that our marriage is stronger for the fact that we went through this together. Bankruptcy is a very emotionally draining thing. That alone can be that last nail in the coffin that destroys a marriage and a family. And I think that there are so many other alternatives.
The name of the book is Debt Proof Your Marriage by Mary Hunt, How to Achieve Financial Harmony, Become Effective Money Partners, Create a Get-Out-of-Debt Plan that Works, Be Prepared for Unexpected Expenses, / Mortgage Payback Time in Half, and Deal Effectively with Roller Coaster Income. This is a book that is very practical and will be helpful to people. It's always good to have you here, Mary.
Oh, now, thank you so much.
I want to open the gallery microphones, if I can, and see if there's anyone there who would like to come and ask a question of our guest. It would be a pleasure. And if you would like to do that, I should have given you a warning because people like to think before they find themselves talking to a lot of people like that. But if you would like to ask a question, come and give us your name and where you're from and a brief question.
Hello, my name is Roy. I am a pastor from Virginia. And I was just wondering, as a father of two boys, Mary, I don't know how many children you have, but what impact has this change made in your children's lives as you've turned around your financial life? And what impact and principles have they learned as a result of this change?
Great question.
Yeah, well, we have two boys as well. And when we went through this horrible time, they were very young. They were 6 and 7. And I got to tell you, probably my biggest fear was that they were going to turn out like me, because they were starting to show those same tendencies of wanting more and more, nothing ever being enough. And so as part of our journey back, we created what we called our Hunt Kid Financial Plan, and they learned to manage money right along with us. And it was quite successful. In fact, I've written another book called Debt Proof Your Kids, and it's the story of our two boys. And I wouldn't be sharing this with you if it hadn't turned out well. Neither one of them have ever had any debt other than a mortgage. They both own their homes in Southern California. They've just learned to become wonderful money managers, and they are a testament to what can happen if you don't get into student debt, you don't get into credit card debt, and all that interest that you don't have to send away, you keep, and you give regularly. Our boys are givers, they're savers, and they have just learned to live within their means, and they're completely different opposite personality-wise. So it's not that they were born that way. Is something that can be taught and it can be learned.
Mary, how do you avoid student debt?
Boy, that's a tough one, but I think you can. I think you can. I really do. And we've spent a lot of time coming up with alternatives. I know that if you wait until the last day before the kid graduates from high school and then you want to send him to Harvard, that can be quite a problem. But I think that there are many, many opportunities. There are junior colleges for a couple of years. There are many scholarships, many grants. There are ways that, you know, there's the military. There are so many alternatives for the way that kids can go to school. And I share a lot of that in the newsletter and in the books. And if you must take student debt, I think that kids need to come out of college knowing they've got to pay it back very, very quickly.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Deanna. I'm from here in Colorado. My question is, you talk about giving and tithing. Like my husband said, well, we give. And my answer is, we don't give the 10%. If we up our giving and give the 10%, is that what we're supposed to do? Or does...
Oh, Deanna, you know, that's a tough question, because I hate to come from a very, very legalistic position that if you give 9.9%, God doesn't recognize it. But if you give 10, then you're good to go. I don't think it's that way at all. I think God looks at our hearts. But I think that God wants us to give back to him what is the most precious to us. And I have a lot of people say, well, I give my time, and I that's enough. But you're not giving your money because it's more precious than your time. And so I don't think that God sits there with a great big calculator. I think he looks at our hearts. But if you're giving grudgingly, like, I'm not going to give any more than this. I mean, you can give 80%. And I don't think that's not going to do that thing in your heart that you want so badly. So I would say continue giving. And if your husband is opposed to that, you give. You give from the money that you manage, your grocery money, the money over which you have control. Ask God to make you become a giver and to release this in your life, that you love to give, and that brings balance into your heart and to your marriage too.
Mary, you said you grew up in a pastor's home.
I did.
And you know that many pastors have a tendency to get kind of cynical about money because they know who is not tithing out there. People who are very involved in the church, you know that.
Oh.
The average congregation, perhaps 20-25% is paying the bill for everybody else, and the others are writing.
I have heard that, but I have to say that my father was so tight-lipped about money. As I've gone around speaking to so many churches, I'm learning that the typical congregation in our country is so deeply in debt that they don't feel that they can give. They don't give anything, let alone 10% or 20 or 30 that they would if they were not in debt. Can you imagine what would happen to the churches in this country if there were no credit card debt and our congregants, all of our people who name the name of the Lord, we're able to contribute that money instead to his work? I mean, just imagine what could happen.
Ron Blue has said that there is far more than enough money to fund the entire Great Commission that would go into all the world and preach the gospel.
I think
if people would only tithe.
I can tell you that there is a real movement. There's a movement to getting out of debt. People are learning, and it's starting in the churches. And it's the kids are starting to learn because parents are now starting to talk to their kids. I'm excited to be a part of it, and I am just thrilled by what I'm learning, that there really is starting to be a change.
And you're part of it.
Well, thank the Lord.
Next question.
Hi. My question is, my husband and I, when we got married, we got ourselves into major credit card debt, which we were able to pull ourselves out of. But we did buy a car on credit and our house on credit. How do you feel about that?
I learned this from Larry Burkett. Mm-hmm. You know, God just used
Bless
that man in
memory,
my life.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what. There were some very, very dark times in my life when I just grabbed onto his books and his radio program. But I really believe that there's a difference between secured debt and unsecured debt. When you have a secured debt, which is a home, which is a car, there's collateral. If something horrible happens, you have a way out of that debt. You have a safety valve. You can sell the house and be done with it. So those are not the things that are going to get you in trouble. I make a big distinction between secured debt and unsecured debt. Unsecured debt is what's killing the marriages in this country right now. So that would be the difference. So you're fine.
Well, I enjoy talking to you because for you, it's not theoretical. It is practical. You've been there. You experienced it. You went to the bottom and came up and out with the Lord's help, and you're helping other people do the same thing.
And I am just so grateful. Dr. Dobson, I'm so grateful. And my passion to help other people and to help couples out of debt just seems to keep growing. And I guess I'm speechless by what God can do with the brokenness of our lives. And I'm just so pleased to be here.
Give Harold my regards.
I certainly will.
Okay.
He would tell you the very same thing.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Well, we pray that Mary Hunt's words have encouraged you over the past couple of broadcasts and provided you with some direction to become more financially stable. If you missed part one of this broadcast on yesterday's program, go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. There you will also find links to her various blogs and popular books, as well as hearing the first part of this conversation. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast tab. Our mission here at Family Talk is to uphold the family and support you as a parent. Now, we urge you to go to our resources page at drjamesdobson.org and tap into our vast library of valuable materials that we have there on raising children and overcoming various marital issues and building a lasting Christian legacy. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org, click onto the Resources tab, and scroll through our collection of CDs, DVDs, books, and so much more that we've created to support you and your family. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for your faithful financial support of this ministry. Thanks for praying for us, and thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear a great discussion that Family Talk's co-host Dr. Tim Clinton had with Dr. Diane Langberg on the topic of dealing with emotional and physical trauma. You won't want to miss this conversation next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and Executive Director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty University. Man, I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new program, an exciting opportunity for you to better yourself. It's a tremendous educational resource. It's the all-new James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family Studies at Liberty University. Liberty has partnered with renowned psychologist, author, radio show host, family expert, Dr. James C. Dobson, to create the Dobson Center, where you now can study in three different majors, marriage and family, child development, family advocacy, and more, and become even a certified marriage and family relationship coach. That's right. You can go to college at Liberty and learn from Dr. James C. Dobson. He actually teaches video lectures, consulted with numerous experts from the field, and more. I hope you'll take a moment just to check out these brand new programs of study at Liberty.